Who's Afraid of Summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:12 in the morning, and it's far too early to do anything. So if you're up, thank you for getting up and listening. If you're not listening now currently, please turn it on. I don't want to miss anything, obviously. Ryan Nobles, later, Ryan Nobles knows more about this Virginia governor's mess than anybody. Now the lieutenant governor is sort of in the middle of it by extension. We'll explain that in the top six. Kid of the week coming up. Dean Richards can try to tell us what Liam Neeson was thinking when he said what he said. Pete McMurray's on the show today.
Pete McMurray said, hey, Steve said I should be on the show today.
He's plugging something. What's he plugging?
He's doing the local Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, that's right.
And he's raising money for breast cancer.
They finally gave up on me. They didn't even ask this year.
They didn't? Oh, the last few years they've asked you. Yeah,
they ask every year, and I always say no. And
deal with the rejection.
Well, I'm too busy with the Joffrey. I don't have time to take time away from the Joffrey to come over and do this, you know, this other type of dance. I mean, come
on.
You
only have time for one tight outfit.
And, you know, now you're wearing jeans. You could wear dance pants as well.
Oh, dance pants.
Come on. Wasn't that my nickname?
It dance is. Pants? Mary had dance pants on last Thursday.
I did.
Are you doing, you did this before. You did Dancing with the Stars.
I did the DuPage for the senior citizens one that they raise money for them.
Mary should be doing this. Why are we letting Pete do it? Mary should be doing this.
Oh, Pete's going to be awesome.
Pete will be good because, you know, he's got a lot of time.
This is the one John Williams did last year.
I think Brett Sobel did it for us mm-hmm. one year.
Carmen did one, the same one right. I did, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. And David Miranda did it, too.
Wow.
See?
A lot of local celebrities getting in the mix.
Dave, how come you haven't done it?
Come on, Steve.
I asked you one year,
and you were like, no.
I'm going to get you.
I can't. I'm in the middle of the season here.
Yeah, I'm going to get you on a list.
No, Steve.
Do you dance? I've never seen you dance. Do you dance?
Dave would be a real smooth dancer. He'd be really good.
No, Mary.
Come on,
no,
you do the waltz. Dancer.
Are you?
Well, I'm not awful, but no, this would not.
Someone
be.
Who looks like you just said you were awful.
No, Dave's all upper body. You know, you can see when you look at him, he's just all muscle, and he's just brick house upstairs.
I'm a little clumsy, and this is plus stair climbing season for me.
Are you excited about the two new additions to the team?
I'm very excited about the two new additions to our team.
Can't say who it is, but Maureen and Ross Cochran are in. And
excellent.
They're going to be on the show after 7. I mean, unless they're doing another show. I mean, who knows? It could be late.
They might be with Pete,
When I was booking that, I really wanted Maureen, because she doesn't join us that often. And then...
Like ever?
Yes. And so I asked her first, and she said, I'll do it if Ross does it. So then I had to go to Ross and said, your mom is going to be on tomorrow. I had to kind of sell... I told... So, and she wants you to come on, too. So he had to agree. I had to use Maureen's power.
Well, they spent part of the day yesterday together. You know, we're helping Amy get her house together. And...
Does the house have stairs? They could have been training.
You know what? That's a great point.
Yeah.
They are challenging each other. You know, when they work out, they're both doing... You know, when I had knees, I used to do the Stairmaster all the time. But what's the thing that actually is the rotating, like, escalator thing? You know, the steps?
The gauntlet stairs?
Yeah, the actual steps. It's called
the gauntlet. Because I think at one gym I belong to, that's the brand that was... But I don't know...
That they do that.
The elliptical, you mean? You
can big, massive one, Mary.
It's like that thing. It's kind of like a mini escalator.
Yeah. Stairway that keeps going.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
So they both did 90 floors.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
really good.
Yeah.
Wow. You watched Abigail.
Yeah. Boy, and I'm telling you, once you get a sense of power at age 3,
Is she sassy?
No, she's not. No, come on. She's Abigail. Abigail Grace. But she's a great mood.
Did you guys spend any time in the chair and a half together?
You know, we did not because we were busy playing Zingo, America's Hottest Game. And, she's a sweet kid, right? So she had a princess doll she was playing with, and she said, Pops, I need to get you a toy. And she went down and she got me another girl that she was playing with who had wild, like, Patti LaBelle in her prime hair. Mm. Like, hair going everywhere.
Yeah.
So she knows how to appeal to me.
Did you tell good Patti LaBelle stories?
I said, remember? I said, Abigail, there once was a song called Lady Marmalade.
Let me tell you about this one time I was in Pittsburgh where...
Do you have a voice?
Me and Patti LaBelle.
Yeah.
A voice that goes along with your doll?
I'm a master of two or three voices, so most of them sound like this. Hey, Abigail, here I come to play with you. They're all in that general range.
You do your Mrs. Doubtfire one.
No, that's totally different.
Oh, gotcha. Come on.
What is the Mrs. Doubtfire one?
It's the same as the Queen.
Oh.
It's the yes. Queen,
the
Mrs.
Queen,
Doubtfire.
Mrs. Do- yeah, those, slash yeah. Mrs. Doubtfire.
All right, well, come back with the top six, but first, it's Ice Storm tonight that Mary Vandeville thinks is going to be nothing. I see it as the end of civilization.
That. I'm just trying to have a positive attitude for once.
Steve Grzanich?
Yeah, and Mary, we want to correct something. Mary said earlier an inch of ice.
No, it's a quarter expected. Inch, right?
It's going to be 3/10 of an inch to maybe 4/10 of
well,
an
that's
inch.
That's a lot of ice.
I am going to get out my ruler tomorrow morning so we can get
well,
the exact
but in
measure
ice, in the ice world, that's a lot.
That is cool.
Does it really matter? It's still going to be slippery on the top no matter
well,
how.
If you put that big of a coating on tree limbs and power lines, that's going to be your problem right
that's
there.
That's your problem. It weights them down. Some of them snap.
Right.
And you got your power issues. But it's going to be, you know, look, you hope that the middle of the day, yesterday at 9 o'clock, this wasn't going to happen. So you hope by the middle of the day today. Something else will happen, and somebody else will be suffering, so we don't have to. But as of right now...
It's happening.
It's happening,
right.
Starting at 6 o'clock tonight.
The ice storm warning goes into effect at 6 o'clock tonight. It will be in effect until 6 a.m. tomorrow. Covers pretty much all of the Chicago area counties, and we'll have more on that coming up at 6:30.
And we'll have the top six coming up.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
State of the Union address tonight. It's really a non-event in most years. It's the sitting president saying wonderful things are going to happen, and Congress looking interested on one side and uninterested on the other. It'll be interesting to watch Nancy Pelosi. Who
stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down.
Yeah, and what her expression will be like with the president. There is one opportunity tonight. There's a little kid named Trump who is going to be one of the president's guests. He's a sixth grader, and he says he's been bullied at school.
Because his name is Trump?
Because his name is Trump. Now, the president has an opportunity to tie in his wife's cause, bullying, along with the fact that bullying is horrific, and no matter what your name is, you shouldn't be bullied. Be interesting to see if he does that or if he makes it about him.
Yeah. It's a very similar story locally. Cochran Johnson, he's a third grader. Mm-hmm. He has a tough time.
He's coming in from my State of the Union.
He has a tough time.
312-981-7200 if you'd like to predict the over-under on how long he takes to make it about him.
I love that the Democrats are being accused of trolling the president because all of the guests that they are bringing are people that are in direct contrast to his policies.
Which is kind of the way it works.
That is the way it works, yeah. Right? I saw a Fox News story where they're like, oh, Democrats. Like, well, I could have swore for the last 8 years before that with Obama, that was the whole concept. That's what you do.
Georgia's gubernatorial candidate, Stacey Abrams, who had the race in the office of governor stolen from her, will give the rebuttal. If things couldn't get worse for the Democrats in Virginia, now a sexual assault accusation on Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax. This after it was revealed the current governor allegedly appeared in blackface in medical school yearbook. He tried to get out of it by showing how he could moonwalk. Fairfax is in line to replace Governor Ralph Northam. He's the blackface. And Fairfax hinted that it was Northam's team who leaked the sexual assault accusation. It's also possible it was Republicans looking to mess up the whole thing further for Democrats and set up the next governor's race. And it's continues to be the hot mess that it is.
That's a great way to put it, hot mess.
Next, the Ricketts family in hot water. Racist emails were leaked by Splinter.com. Joe Ricketts, the father that owns the Cubs, was involved in a chain of emails that featured jokes. You know, the forward reply jokes, the hey, have you heard this one jokes. You know, the jokes that you delete.
The jokes, you know, if you worked at the water reclamation plant.
You'd not forward?
You would not.
And also in pushing the birther conspiracy over President Obama, Tom Ricketts prepared a statement saying in no way is the Father Joe a part of the Cubs. Well, that's the kind of family loyalty you like, huh?
Except for that the money did help buy the team, but he's not involved.
The backstory there is, and I wasn't in the meeting, but I certainly heard about the meetings, and the backstory there was they went to Joe, who's not a baseball fan, and said, here's how much we need to buy the Cubs. And he said, why do we want to buy the Cubs? And they sold him on buying the Cubs, and he said, it better work. With occasional adjectives also in that sense.
Here's why we need to buy the Cubs, Dad. Because it'll start with Wrigley Field, and then we'll just keep building out until we have our own empire, our own city.
Ricketsville. It's no longer Wrigleyville, it's Ricketsville. And to their credit, the Tom Ricketts portion of this deal and the siblings, they have built themselves something that is quite the little money machine in Wrigleyville.
And I think it was Friday that they announced that Todd Ricketts, the brother, is going to be running the fundraising for the RNC for Trump 2020.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
He may have a lot of time on his hands. I hope he's got a backup plan for that. Next, Illinois Catholic bishops announced yesterday that they're opposed to legalizing marijuana. The six bishops say they oppose legalizing it for, quote, the common good. They cite addiction issues and how it'd be easier to sell to minors on the black market. Well, that's groundbreaking.
Really. Who would have thought they would support it? What? Why is this?
Well, also the part that it'll be easier to sell to minors on the black market. Yeah. How about it would also eliminate a illegal drug and make it a potential cash crop with tax values if it's appropriately handled?
The Pritzker.
Because there's no way kids get it unless it's legalized.
I know. That's the joke of it. Because this has already been, I don't know how many states, handful of states now, eight, nine, whatever it is.
Growing every day.
Are doing it. It seems a little backwards to make a stance and say we're against it when it seems that things are moving forward. And I will say, nothing against the Catholic Church, but they have in their history, they have a lot of moments where they're a little bit behind on the curve. Whether it be same-sex marriage, whether it be interracial marriage.
Ordaining women.
And all that kind of stuff.
Letting priests get married.
Yeah.
And finally this. The CDC says your kids are using too much toothpaste.
What?
Yes, that's right. All you need is a kernel of rice or a pea-sized spot of toothpaste on your brush.
The CDC is coming around to my thinking. I say this to my husband and children constantly. They use
half a tube.
2 grapes worth on their tooth. Like, it's all in the sink. It doesn't even hit.
Yeah, most of it you spit out anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
dentists will tell you, aside from a little bit of breath freshening, the work your brush does is what cleans your teeth and your tongue, not the toothpaste.
It's about length of time that you are brushing.
Exactly, and do it right.
Correct.
Yeah. I brush my teeth every 15 minutes all day long.
How much toothpaste do you use?
Well, apparently more than I should. You know, at my age, I'm just a youth.
Yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah. Do you floss?
Toothpick it. I go Dusty Baker.
Ah, you got to floss.
Not according to my dentist. My dentist says I'm doing spectacularly.
That's with the TMJ, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You think
true.
That has to do with me using a toothpick? whatever it takes to remove those food particles between your teeth. But again, if you're brushing your kids' teeth with them this morning, just show them. Small amount of toothpaste is best. We ran the numbers on this. If you use the small, tiny amount of toothpaste we're talking about, you can save over $1 million a year in your family in toothpaste costs.
A standard size tube will last you for 10 years.
That's exactly right. That's exactly, long as you put the cap back on. And finally, a helpful texter says, you know how your station plays that sound at the top of every hour? You should just replace it with a duck quacking. We are back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not.
A team. Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, isn't it time you jump in the lake? I got somebody on the phone who knows all about it. This week's Kid of the Week is Delaney Bethel. Delaney, good morning. Oop, hold on, Delaney. Somebody turned off the telephone. There you are. Delaney, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am fine. Thanks for doing this. You are Kid of the Week.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
What grade are you in?
I'm a sophomore.
Nice. And we got very firm instructions that you had to be off the show by 49 minutes past the hour because you got to go to school.
Yes, I school.
Do you go to school, Delaney?
Wheaton North.
Nice.
I like that kind of dedication. All right, so let's talk about the Polar Plunge. You raised how much money in the last several years?
$29,000 since 2011. Wow.
$29,000 for Special Olympics, right?
Yes.
And what's the inspiration there? Why Special Olympics?
Well, my dad and I started with the Polar Plunge, and we just thought it'd be cool, and that was one jump. And then my dad's friend suggested to do all 24, so we've been doing that since 2014.
Is that why you call it the Super Plunge?
Yes.
So 24, what does that mean? 24?
You jump into the lake 24 times.
Yeah, so from like the afternoon of February 15th, you jump once an hour for 24 hours until February 16th.
Oh, my God.
Now, at what point does it get to you looking at your dad and going, why am I doing this? And and I'm never going to forgive you. I mean, at what point does that happen?
I mean, never really. I always look forward to it, so it's a lot of fun.
Well, your dad must be a cool guy to do this.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
So, when was the first one? Was it 2011?
It was 2011, yes.
Okay, so 2011, a little bit of quick math here. What are you, 7 or 8 years old then?
Yeah, I was 7.
7 years old. And what'd your mom think when you said, Dad's going to let me jump in the lake?
She thought it was kind of crazy.
That's a good mom. You guys say hi to our new friend, Delaney.
Hi, Delaney. You participate in what's called the Flock program at your school. What is it, and why do you participate?
So it's a club through the school where you hang out with kids with disabilities. So there's like usually like things every month. So like we go bowling or we have game night or stuff like that. So yeah, so there's a club at my middle school, and then I have a friend who does it through the high school, and she suggested I try it.
Got a brother with special needs, and he didn't have those kind of opportunities, so I salute all the schools that are doing that kind of thing, but good for you for doing that as well.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, what are you going to do after school when you get to college, and then after college when you have to be a grown-up? What's your chosen path?
I want to be a teacher, I think, but I'm not positive yet.
Okay, well, you got to know by 49.
Delaney, have you started driving yet?
Yes, I started driver's ed this semester.
Oh, do you like it?
Yeah, it's fun.
Are you getting in? Are you making your parents nervous getting your hours in?
Yeah, my dad drives with me mostly, so.
And does he do the thing, the parent brake on the other side, where when you're supposed to brake, he's like pushing against the floor?
Usually he just like holds the handle and makes noises.
Makes noises.
You'll do the same someday, Delaney.
Do you have any siblings, Delaney?
Yeah, I have a brother who's in seventh grade.
Oh, is he annoying?
Sometimes.
That's the age split of my kids, and we have an older girl and
they
and
bug
a younger
each other.
Boy. Oh, they do.
Yeah, sure they do. Absolutely. Delaney, you're a great kid. It's an honor to have you be Kid of the Week, and I'm going to we'll let you get ready for the rest of your day. But thanks for doing this, and what does Delaney get?
Delaney's getting Lou Malnati's pizza and an app gift card.
Right.
Very much.
All right, keep up the great work. Thank you. And it's only 24 times in the lake.
Yes, thank you very much.
How about that? 24 times jumping in the lake. Dave, you did it, didn't you?
I have never done it.
I thought you did.
I wouldn't do 24 times in the
summer. Andrea did the polar plunge.
You know?
Yeah, I know. That's in once an hour. And it defies everything as a parent to let... You're supposed to, like, wear your coat. You know, getting wet in the cold is the opposite of what
I like this guy, this dad. His dad sounds like fun.
I like them going against the mom, thinking they're crazy.
The interesting thing about the polar plunge that we see every year is, especially if the lake is iced over, it's particularly cold, is everybody jumps in one particular area, and it's a fairly small area where the ice is broken and people jump in, and it's nasty. So, you know, by time 23 or 24, I'm guessing you're going to need a lot of showers, hot showers.
There, the one year we had to do it for a different station I worked for, and Lady Gaga and Taylor Kinney did it.
I remember that.
Right, yeah.
Did you do it?
I did.
Did you wear a costume?
I did not wear a costume. I'm not that fun.
Was it cold?
It was cold. And some people get off. They don't go all the way under. They like count just their waist, and I'm like, you didn't.
Are you supposed to put your head in? I mean, your hole.
I did hole in because I felt it was a full commitment.
It is still a lake.
Gross.
Yeah. I don't know if I would do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't
the whole experience is. I have friends that live in South Carolina that do a polar plunge every year, but it's not even that cold there, so I don't think that that's a really.
I'm thinking about the toller plunge where I just put my big toe in.
I don't think that counts.
What?
I did. As part of the Tough Mudder, you have to take the Arctic plunge where you go under. They have a truckload of ice. They're dumping ice into this 20-foot-long pool, and you have to swim under these obstacles. So you can't just stick your toe in. Now, granted, it was 90 degrees out when I did that.
Yeah, but even so, it was probably uncomfortable, wasn't it? Like the rest of the whole course that you did there?
Yeah, well, it's not
designed
relaxing.
And I don't like to open my eyes underwater, so you'd have to with that. That would be, ugh.
So you know where you're going, you mean?
Yeah, I can't open my eyes underwater, can you?
But plus, this is mud.
I'm rarely underwater, but when I am, I do try to open my eyes.
Did you have goggles, Dave?
No.
You can't use goggles.
Why not?
Is that not Tough Mudder enough?
Like, no, that would be weak.
Well, they get caked with mud.
Oh, okay.
Well, couldn't you get goggles like little windshield wipers on each eye?
That's a good idea. I think I'll try that this year.
Let's get that invented.
Yeah.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Over or under, how many tattoos does Adam Levine have from the Super Bowl a couple days ago? Remember he took his shirt off?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I remember.
How many tattoos?
One of those sleeve tattoos, does that count as one?
I don't know.
Are those separate?
Honestly, I don't know.
I'm going to say 76.
Anybody?
I'd say 50.
Anybody?
Oh, 40.
26.
I got 21. 21 is the
Are you counted them yourself? Or
no, it's been several experts are reporting 21 tattoos. But think about that. If you have one tattoo, think about going through that 21 times and also a varying size. His first tattoo is the dove that you could spot on his shoulder, which he got in the aftermath of 9/11, wanting to say something about peace on my body, is what he said about that. His other shoulder features the word Los Angeles, which, additional to the word California, expresses his hometown love. Didn't Tupac have California tattooed on him?
I know Thug Life. He had Thug Life.
There were a lot of copycat people,
maybe a ride or die,
around here that put Illinois on their belly after the Super Bowl and had put that picture up.
There's one guy in particular who's kind of all over the place.
Who are we talking about?
The guy with the Illinois crosses.
Yeah. And his non-fit gut body. Because, you know, he did it like Adam Levine has the...
Is this somebody I know? Well, I mean, who are we talking about?
No, he posted it. There's a meme going around. A guy on Super Bowl Sunday was fast enough to be able to post on his out of shape body.
Oh, I saw that.
Illinois.
He wrote Illinois.
And it's because
I had like 40.
Yeah, that wasn't a real tattoo.
There was also like another, and I think this might have generated from a friend because I couldn't find the you know, we start mapping how they get to this point, but a kid putting up the print of a pillow. That is identical to the tank top that Adam Levine was wearing.
I saw that. That was funny.
Just above Adam Levine's heart is the Sanskrit word for tapas. Doesn't mean he was hungry. It's a reference to his spiritual practice.
Jeez.
A few years ago, he said, I fell in love with yoga. The word tapas stands for fire, passion. Keeps me connected and changed my life. A photo also reveals a hand with the words true love carrying a rose across Adam Levine's chest. Obviously, don't have time to go through all 21 because I've already lost interest. But the man's committed to his tattooing.
Hey, I really like his tattoos. You're really into this. This is like day two of you talking about Adam Levine's tattoos.
Listen, my job is to find crap people may be interested in and then spew it.
I would have preferred if the tapas meant he was committed to small portions.
Right. Absolutely.
Is this a tattoo-free show, Cochran Show? I don't have a tattoo.
I don't have a tattoo.
No tattoos.
No tattoos.
Not me.
Nope. None.
Joe? No, really? Grzanich?
Nope.
Pete? Grzanich? The last hope, Grzanich?
Nope. Pete, no tattoos on Pete?
No, he's got, he actually has more than Adam Levine, so he has enough for all of us.
My decision was pretty serious because one day I might dance topless somewhere.
That's a good point.
And I just don't want those tattoos getting in the way.
That's my thought on tattoos anyway. At some point, you're going to be 75 years old, and you're going to go, what the hell was I thinking?
And then it's going to stretch.
Do your kids have them?
No. Nope. Nope. Tattoo-free family. He's also got a mermaid angel and skulls, and he's got a problem.
What is it healthy to have that many tattoos, I wonder?
Can't be.
I don't know.
No, it can't be.
I don't even like when I get pen on my hand, so.
Yeah, well, if you cut Adam Levine, bleeds flair.
What about a Cochrane Show tattoo we all go in on? Something for the arm, maybe the chest, maybe
that's
a big
note. Like when you honestly, reach your next big ankle. Show, what is it? What are we up to now?
This is show number 1307. Here's the big problem with getting a Cochrane Show tattoo. There's no guarantee any of us are going to be here.
Yeah, but then we'll remember that moment.
It's like Roseanne and Tom tattooing each other.
It's like putting an ex-girlfriend's name on your... You're like, I'm not with Mindy anymore, but I remember our
time
together.
And then we can document it on social media when we get it changed into flowers or something. You know, when they do that, where they switch
it. And the good thing is tattoo removal has become a real good thing now. It's
hard stuff, though. Hard stuff. My brother was going through some of that. It's not easy to do. My dad had a tattoo that said, True Love to Audrey, on his forearm. For his entire life, which was complicated because he married a woman named Sonia.
Oh, boy.
It's a minute before 7, and we'll come back with the news in just a second from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN Radio.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Raising a bunch of money in the ALA stair climb, Dave Innitt's team. Mary Vandeveld's in. They're both captains this year. Does that mean you're captaining opposite teams?
No. We're one
captains.
We're in it to win it.
Unlike some past years, where
there's been vicious infighting.
Never on my part, but there have been others on the staff who have made it a competitive thing, and I never would do that. We're all in this for a great cause.
Dave, the most competitive person on the planet.
Yeah, you know what? You need a mirror, Captain Competitive, over there.
And this way, it's one T-shirt order, so, you know, we're saving
money.
Kind
of cleans that up.
Yeah.
let me go to a couple of new team members, Dave. I know you're very excited about this.
I am.
My family, Maureen Cochran and Ross Cochran, and hold on, let me get them both on the air without hanging up on them.
This is dangerous.
I believe they're both there. Hello!
Hello.
Hey. Incredible technology. Incredible technology.
Looks like you did, Maureen.
Yay.
Welcome to the show.
I'm proud of him. Thank you.
He gets a ribbon.
Really advanced. And good morning, son. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
How long ago did you wake up, Ross?
I'm going to go about 12 and a half minutes.
Listen to his voice. It's so deep.
Yes.
Ross worked on the show for a couple of years. He really misses these hours.
I really do.
So, all right. So, Dave, what would you like to tell these new team members?
Well, first of all, I would like to welcome them to the team.
Is there an oath they need to take or anything?
Like there is. It is. Please repeat after me. Say your own name.
Yeah.
Do solemnly pledge to climb the stairs.
All four flights.
So I was going to say, are Maureen and Ross doing all four, Dave?
I don't know. Maureen and Ross, you're doing all four, aren't you?
Can't that be a day decision? Can I decide on the day whether I'm doing all four? Do I have to decide now?
Well, I think you have to sign up to do all four, and then you can just choose to do one or two.
See, if you say
my gosh, listen to the shame.
You got to say you're doing all four.
I will tell you this. As somebody who has done this and has thought, Maureen, that, hey, I'll just do one or two, there is a style in which they shuttle that it makes it feel like you really are going to have to do a walk of shame if you don't want to do the four.
No, that's not true at all.
You get to two, and then you're like, all right, I think that's going to do it. I did it. And then there's a vibe that's like, if you give up now.
You guys have both done like 90 floors just in working out for this. So what's the hesitation now? Says the guy who's not doing it.
I'm just, I think any millennial son out there whose mom asks, hey, do you want to climb some stairs? There's no way out of this. So I'm doing as many as mom's doing. And then as soon as she's done, I'm done.
No, that's cool. That's good. So you guys planning on climbing together then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait,
I figured mom can carry me like she used to.
Hey, Maureen.
Aw, so
Maureen, are you going to let Ross wear headphones, or are you going to plan on doing some chit-chat during the climb?
Oh, I won't be chit-chatting. I'm sure we'll be chit-chatting. So if he wants to listen to headphones, that's fine. Yeah, that's good.
Then I'll stick with you, Maureen, because the Dave Ennett always goes with the headphones, too, and ignores me the whole way.
Yeah, and this whole idea that you're not competitive is just nonsense. I mean, you would bet on a dust bunny falling in this room.
Not at all. This is not a competitive thing. We're a team. We're all banding together to help the American Lung Association and raise funds in the fight for clean air and healthy lungs.
So how does this sponsorship thing work?
Well, you go to WGNradio.com/events or fightforairclimb.org. You can sign up there. You can donate to us, or you can pledge to support Maureen or Ross.
Oh, so you can pledge a flat amount?
Yeah.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'll get your team's a little extra cash here. We'll start this off this way. I'm going to pledge $1,000 to your team, and that's $501 for Maureen and $499 for Ross.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Wow.
It's well done. And by the way, it's not my team. This is the WGN Radio and WGN TV team.
So you're not taking a kickback this year?
Not this year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
we don't
sure.
call it the New England Patriots. We call it the Bill Belichick Patriots. So
it's
that's
Dave Ennett's team.
Ennett's team.
Dave Ennett's
now, Ross, Maureen, do you guys have any questions for Dave or Mary Vandeveld who've done this?
Mary, what should I wear?
Oh. Well,
actually, Maureen, let me handle that.
Dave?
Go ahead, Mary.
No, just workout pants of any sort. And then
aren't I going to get too hot in pants?
Wear a capris. Do the capris things. Yeah. Okay. Or shorts. Right. Either one. And then we're going to get a team t-shirt, I'm sure. So you'll have that. Yeah. You already got it figured out.
Do we know what color
we're
going with?
Everyone loves a team t-shirt.
What team color are we going
with? Well, we've gone with different colors every year. Green last year was purple and white a couple of years ago. We did red one year. So
Purple and white. That was our high school colors. Oh, I should have done it.
Well, it's Dave, you know.
Yeah. Well, as the number one benefactor, Steve, you're the guy giving the money. You get to choose the color.
And they should say Ennett to win it. So.
Oh, that's going to shock you. If I'm picking, it's black.
Can I?
No, you can't. You don't like to sweat in black. That's not a good color.
Maureen and Ross, who's been training more in your family?
Oh, that would be me for
Mary,
sure. Right, Ross?
Yeah, it's definitely been you. But Mary, what should I wear?
Capris.
Capris. Yeah. Okay. My mom's definitely been training more. She'll just send me screenshots of how much she had done. Mm-hmm. How many stairs she's climbed.
Taunting her son.
And yeah. So then I got to find a way to get to the gym to try to just keep up with my mother.
I'm kind of hoping that Maureen does all four and that Ross can't hang.
You know, there's a chance of that, certainly. But
I know. That's what I want.
And there was absolutely no chance of Ross doing all four and me not being able
right.
to hang.
Right. I know that's not an option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if he wants to stay in the will.
Make sure
you'll call an ambulance. Somebody will get me up those last two
right.
days.
We'll all help.
You'll be fine.
I'll not go home.
You guys will be fine. The one piece of advice I would give you first time climbing is pace yourself at the beginning. Don't. Because you'll look at the first couple steps, you go, oh, this is a piece of cake. And you start going, and I did that the first year with Mary, if you remember. Mm-hmm. We got off to a real fast start.
And
by the top of Tower One, I was like, oh, wait a minute, I started too quickly.
We're like, we're not going on. Yeah, we have to, because Dave was taking, Dave takes a video after each tower.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so you kind of have to keep it up, going.
Is the greatest danger the elevator ride with other sweaty people back down to the basement for the next tower start?
Yeah.
Now, Steve, will you be on the street, parked in the car, just waiting for them to finish, and they get in the Tahoe? And
I may have something going on that morning.
Lightning.
Okay.
No, we go have Bloody Marys afterwards.
Now, you know what? I'll co-host with Dean. I'll come down and I'll co-host with Dean if Dean's broadcasting from there, as he's done in the past. And listen, I would do it, but I don't want to show you two up. I have a serious question, Ross. That beard of yours, when you've done the 90 floors, does the sweat just drip off the beard? How does that work?
Yeah, no, my gym is actually designated an entire floor just for me because of how much I sweat when I'm training for the stair climb.
Now, Ross, will you shave the beard for the climb?
No, don't do that.
Be more aerodynamic? No, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
No.
You see, he's just like we just saw Julian Edelman. You can be a top-flight athlete with a crazy beard.
Well, listen, both of these contestants, I will call them, Ross and Morgan, they're both athletes.
Yeah.
So when they blow by the rest of the team and then mock them at
no
the top
trash
of the fourth hour.
Easy.
Yeah. Back I'm going to go more like I'm a low flight athlete. Like I'm not really a top flight, but I am a low flight athlete. Sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, Dave, any final words, Captain Dave or Captain Mary?
No, I just am thrilled to have Ross and Maureen on the team. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great day again. Sunday, March 10th at Presidential Towers, and we're going to have a great time.
Remember to hydrate.
And,
very important.
This doesn't include Ross, but if you go to Steve Cochran Show's Instagram account, what is it? Cochran's Too Old for Insta?
Cochran Too Old for Insta.
Yeah, there you can see an awesome picture of Steve and Maureen and baby Amy and some dog.
Some dog? That's Cleo. How dare you?
Some dog.
But Amy's like not even one in that picture, right?
No,
she's like an
baby.
Infant. So yep. It's a classic. Yeah. It must be seen by everybody.
Yes,
so.
Definitely check it out. Along with all the fine photos featured there at other places.
And I know people always say this, but Maureen really hasn't aged.
No, that's true.
But you look different, but Maureen does not look much different.
Yes, I do. Yes, this business has been good to me. All right, son, what's the plan? Are you going back to bed?
No. As far as you're concerned, I never woke up.
Okay, all right. And were you happy to be here?
I'm always happy to be here.
Okay. And wife, what are you doing?
Wife?
That's the name.
Steve keeps it simple. He calls Ross son, Amy daughter, and I'm wife. So there you go.
Listen, at my age, labels are helpful.
At least you're not my bride. Oof.
No, let's not get creepy about it. All right, thanks for being on the show. I know you got to run and do other shows,
thanks
for coming on.
Yeah.
Thanks. See you on March 10th.
Keep training.
There you go.
That's
great. There you go.
Oh, I'm excited to have them on the team.
I want Maureen to beat Ross by like a full tower. You know, like be done.
This is not a competition.
I want it to be a competition.
No.
She's got mom strength in addition to just being organic.
Listen, she is as competitive as it gets.
Right, she used to do triathlons,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, she'll probably
tough.
Do five towers. And I don't have that time to wait.
Maybe, she'll start randomly going up stairs.
I also want her to beat Dave Bennett.
She'll finish that fourth tower, I'll be going, grab an elevator. We got to roll.
She'll be over at the Ogilvy Center just going up and downstairs. She just keeps going all the way through the loop.
Every building.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps, and the players bump, and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
Remember, I moved to Chicago for a break in the weather after 5 years in the Twin Cities. Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's just one of the greatest areas in the world. And I love Rochester, Minnesota, too. And they're trying to set a record for the coldest hockey game ever played. Andy Cousin is a hockey coach. And Mike Berman builds hockey rinks. Let's go and say hi to these guys. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
All right, coach. Record temperatures. Seems like last week would have been a good time to play. What's the record right now for the coldest hockey game ever played?
Well, the Weather Channel helped us out to do a little bit of research last week. There is a standing record for an NHL game. There's a standing record for a college game. But as we combed through the Guinness Book, we couldn't find one for a youth game. And both our game last week was colder than both the NHL and the college game. So we've got our fingers crossed that the Guinness Book will recognize this as the coldest game played. But it's right now it's a new record that we're applying for.
And was it Wednesday or Thursday? When did you do it?
It was pre-dawn on Thursday morning, right about 5 a.m.
Yeah, because 5, 6, 7 a.m., that's when it's absolutely coldest. Mike, you build rinks. Did you put a special rink together for this?
Actually, I was built by a rink in my backyard, so it's my rink, first time ever doing it. So I don't build many rinks. It's my one in my backyard.
So did you stay in the house since it was your house while the kids were outside freezing?
Oh, heck no. I was out there. With the kids too, cheering them on, making sure everybody was safe.
Was it hard to get the kids up and ready and going for a 5 a.m. hockey game?
Says the hockey mom.
You know, it was absolutely amazing. It is the first time that my kids have ever jumped out of bed for a hockey practice. I think you attach a moniker like world record, but I have a 10-year-old who plays, and he was up before we were. It was like Christmas morning.
Oh, well, that's good. So, it is hard to drag them up.
Were you playing like 20-second periods? How long was this game?
Yeah, they were about a minute long is what we were shooting for. So we had somebody there to witness the sanctity of the game. But, yeah, it was about 60 to 80 seconds per period. That's about all they could handle and all we could handle.
So I'm always amazed that hockey players sweat in any kind of game because I sit in the stands and I'm freezing, even if it's NHL or if I'm watching Patrick.
The gear's hot.
So I know you said you guys layered them up. Once they became disrobed after, were they sweaty kids under there?
They were sweaty kids. In fact, one of our players was talking to a local reporter after the game, complaining that his hands were too sweaty to hold the mic. So even in these conditions, somehow these little buggers find a way to get sweaty.
And you guys both had kids in the game?
We did. Yep.
All right. Well, you know, listen, you guys are famous now that you're on the show here and done all the media you've done. Identify the real stars. Who are your players?
Who were the real stars? The goalies, I think. They had the hardest job, you know, being out there in the cold, but they did kept kind of skating through it.
Both our kids have hopped on the bus today. So Mike's son's name is Aiden. My son's name is Owen. And, boy, we had about 25 other families out there with us, so probably too many to go through. But a lot of stars that answered the call that morning.
And the sad thing is, all the other kids, you know, the defensemen and the forwards and the centers, I mean, they all got in. But the goalies are always the slowest off the ice, and you had to lock them outside. You know, it happens.
Right. Had to teach them a lesson.
Yep.
I did see that there was snacks available. What kind of snacks were you serving for a 5 a.m. game?
We had donuts, hot chocolate, things to get them excited, really.
How about Flamin' Cheetos? None of that?
No Cheetos this time.
Well, it's a cool thing to do. I'm sure there were a lot of wives and moms who thought you two were idiots. But now that all the kids are okay, it's a cool thing to do and good for you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, we had a couple of people that gave us some cross-eyed looks when we decided to do this, but you're absolutely right. The beauty of 2020 hindsight is that everybody pulled through and everybody had a great time, so it was very positive.
Hey, you do this again next time, get some licensing with some hot chocolate company. Come on, boys, let's start thinking about this.
I'll take that tip.
All right, thank you both, the co-winners of the most valuable person on the planet. Hold on for us, Andy Cousin and Mike Berman. We had a lot of fun dads on the show today.
Yeah.
Kid of the week, fun dad, making his daughter jump into the lake 24 times.
I thought you were calling yourself a fun dad.
Well, I'm always a fun dad. We're fun. And Andy and Mike, you know, that's raising the standard. Dave, you haven't contributed on fun dad yet today. Actually, no, you did because you were talking about the mudder.
Tough mudder, yeah.
That's right, which I did with my son. And also, he is going to climb with us also on March
10th. Oh, Steve
Edwards. Oh, yeah. There you go. Justin is only one right now who hasn't had a fun dad example. He's got till 10 to come up with one. at 7:32, we'll do the headlines next on 720 WGN.
I did participate in a dance contest in San Antonio in which I darkened my face as part of a Michael Jackson costume. I look back now and regret that I did not understand the harmful legacy of an action like that. It is because my memory of that episode is so vivid that I truly do not believe I am in the picture in my yearbook.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, I'm going to try to summarize this as quickly as possible so our friend Ryan Nobles can fill in all the details. By the way, he's covered Virginia politics forever. He knows more about it than the people involved in the story. So the governor's a guy named Ralph Northam, been in Virginia politics for, I don't know, 10 years or more, and generally well thought of, generally. And then the other day it all blows up. This picture comes out of him in blackface or a Klan's garb, a Klansman type outfit. And the next day on Saturday, he says, you know, yesterday when I said I'm sorry about that picture, well, it turns out it wasn't me. And then proceeds in maybe the most awkward move ever seen in a political press conference since who knows when to talk about how it couldn't have been him because he remembers the only time he used blackface. And it was to do a Michael Jackson impression in a contest that he won. And maybe he can still moonwalk until his wife told him not to. Sidebar, Justin Fairfax is the African-American lieutenant governor who would become governor if Northam stepped aside, as everybody wants him to. And he got a little bombshell dropped on him in the last 24 to 36 hours about a sexual assault claim going back to 2004 or 2005. Those charges were never put forth. The allegations never proven. And the story went away until now. So he thinks, well, it's a political hit job. So you got troubles in Virginia. It's a national story because it's an extremely important state in 2020, but it's also a national story because of the implications of it. How was that for a fill-in? Did that cover the details?
I have nothing left to add, Steve. That was phenomenal. It's like you've been covering Virginia politics for more than a decade. That was very impressive.
I just pay attention to Ryan Nobles. What you need to tell us is what happens now.
We woke up this morning, Steve, and the reporting team I'm here with, you know, trying to rack our heads answering that exact question, because I do think we're in a bit of a holding pattern. Yesterday was a really big hurdle that I think Ralph Northam crossed, because he's lost the support, as you rightly point out, of virtually every single person in Virginia government. There, you can't find a Republican or a Democrat that doesn't think that Ralph Northam should resign. The only kind of bastion of support he has left is the people that he employs, you know, the members of his cabinet, his close staff aides. And there was some thought that he was not even going to be able to hold on to them. But he held two meetings yesterday, a cabinet meeting and then a meeting with senior staff members, where he basically begged them for more time. You know, I'm told by a person that was in the room in one of these meetings that Northam basically, you know, insisted that he's not one of the two people in this photo, and that the big thing he's worried about is that if he just resigns, he basically just goes into the history books as a racist for life, and that will be the first line in his obituary. And he would much prefer to stay in office to try and clear his good name and try and convince the people of Virginia that he is not what this picture portrays. There's not a lot of evidence that he's going to have much success in that. Yeah, it's almost impossible for him to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's not one of the two people in this photo. Mainly because one of the people has a hood over their head, so you can't use facial recognition software to prove or disprove that. And I think, for the most part, the people of Virginia would just like to move on from this whole debacle. But the governor, the Speaker of the House, I should say, has made it clear that they are not going to move for impeachment while they find his behavior abhorrent. It doesn't fall within the very narrow parameters that the Constitution allows for forcibly removing a governor from office. So we are in a staring contest right now, and this is the busiest part of the calendar for Virginia's legislature. They have a very short session that starts at the beginning of the year. They're at the halfway point here. And the governor has actual work to do here, and he's instead spending all of his time trying to clear his name. So it's not good for anybody.
Ryan, has it become a forensics issue at this point? How do you prove whether or not someone is in a picture or not a picture, especially something in a yearbook from years and years ago?
We have Sarah Seidner, who's our one of our other reporters who's teaming up with me on this, and she does amazing work on racial and identity issues in America. She's been in Norfolk, where the yearbook is from, and she's been talking, she's been calling, just cold calling names in this yearbook to try and get a better sense of exactly what this all means. It's like kind of a huge brushback now with this medical school, that because there's examples of a lot of other questionable photos in different yearbooks. But again, I get back to this kind of basic principle that I don't think there's any way that you're going to be able to convince the vast majority of Virginians, or Americans for that matter, no matter what type of forensic analysis you offer up, that Ralph Northam isn't one of these people. And furthermore, even if he's not one of these people, how did he allow this picture to be put under his name in this yearbook? It's hard for him to describe himself as a victim in this case. And then furthermore, his best defense of all of this is, I'm not in blackface this time, but I was in blackface another time.
It's just idiotic. It's just,
which is just the worst defense ever.
I didn't shoot the guy. But I did shoot another guy, but not that guy. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. There are two sets of rules here, but there's no way the Democrats can claim any sort of high road if they go, well, Trump got away with being on the P tape, Trump did this and Trump did that. No. If the Democrats want to have any ground at all going forward to say, we don't do what Trump does, Northam's got to go.
No, I 100% agree with that. And And I also think that this has been complicated, and you touched on this a little bit, by these sexual assault allegations that have come up against the lieutenant governor. You know, I do think that Northam felt a ton of pressure over the weekend to step down, in part because Justin Fairfax was a rising star and an African-American and someone who's taken kind of a defined stance on civil rights in Virginia. You know, not to get too far out on a limb here, but Virginia has this really outdated holiday called Lee Jackson Day, which comes the Friday before Martin Luther King Day, which is an ode to those Civil War generals, which, you know, I'm not supposed to take positions on this, but I've long thought that it's just a ridiculous thing that the state of Virginia still hangs on to.
Right.
And he, as the president of the Senate, it's his responsibility to preside over this, you know, the session where they passed this resolution in favor of Lee Jackson Day. And he's taken a very principled stand of stepping off the dais and not presiding at those times. So he has this kind of unique role in Virginia politics right now. And I think had these sexual assault allegations not emerged, it would have been even more difficult for Northam to hang on. But now I think he's in a position where he doesn't want to step down and then just enter a new scandal into Virginia's lexicon the very next day. So, I don't know how credible these allegations are. I know that the lieutenant governor has forcefully rebutted them. He's seeming to take, not that he probably wants to be compared to him, but a kind of a Justice Kavanaugh approach to this. Like, I am not going to just accept the premise that I'm guilty of this. This is not what happened. And we're learning that perhaps the accuser is ready to be a little bit more aggressive in her confrontation of this issue. So, man, it is just a mess. And I am not sure how they untangle all of this in short order.
Who is standing by in position three if for some reason these charges against the lieutenant governor have merit?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's part of why this is so confusing, Steve, because this has never happened in Virginia, going all, you know, back to the Civil War. So they've got provisions in the Constitution for this to happen, but they've never been tried before. So, you know, there's kind of very opaque language in the Constitution as to what happens in a line of secession, but it's never been tested. So I've heard some say that the second the lieutenant governor gets sworn in, that he can immediately appoint his own lieutenant governor once he becomes governor. I've heard that would still require a level of a confirmation process by the legislature. That's not abundantly clear. I've also heard that there are some in Virginia's government that believe that he cannot appoint anyone, that the General Assembly needs to call for a special election immediately to elect a new lieutenant governor. So, and then there's even some confusion as to who's third in line. I've heard some say that the Attorney General is third in line. I've heard some say the Speaker of the House is third in line. I've heard some say
the
President Pro Tem of the Senate is third in line. So, yeah, like, this is, like, really, really confusing. And what's interesting about Virginia is, like, my 10 years covering it, they've always prided themselves on these problems not happening in Virginia. You know, they brag about being the longest continually assembling legislature in the Western Hemisphere. You know, the Virginia General Assembly was in session back when they were still pledging fealty to the Queen. You know, this was, and it's basically the same body that's been in place since before the Civil War and after colonialization and the forming of the Union. So they act like we don't have these problems because we're, you know, Virginia gentlemen and we figure this all out. Well, now they've been confronted with this and they're going to have to find a way through it.
And we don't even have time to get to the State of the Union, but that's not going to make much news anyway. Ryan Nobles, great job on this. I know this is home turf for you, but still, you're doing wonderful work there, so keep it up.
Thanks, guys. I'm glad you're interested in it, and we'll see what happens. All right, take it easy.
There you go. Ryan Nobles from CNN, and we'll talk a second or two about the State of the Union when we come back.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
7:57 State of the Union address tonight, and this is always a big hoo-ha.
Yeah.
Technical definition of big hoo-ha.
What food are you making for it?
Well, it's always weird with a viewing party, right? Do you have the wings? Do you have the pizza?
What do you do, especially a couple days after the Super Bowl?
I want to have, you know, we have a photo gallery up of WGNradio.com at the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page of all of our Super Bowls, and Justin and Miles and Julie had these nachos that
really
looked amazing.
They were vegetarian. They're black bean based, and there's a lot of mixing going on.
And there was radishes on top, right?
You lost me at black beans and radishes.
It was one of the best
and there
nachos
was a cheese platter. A cheese platter next to it.
I'm all in on cheese
Miles' dinner.
And tonight, the president allegedly is going to call for unity.
Oh, okay.
Your joke here. And also, there are special guests, including a little girl from Naperville who lost her dad, who has been volunteering with her mom at a shelter and coming up with inspirational phrases and things. And a couple of Illinois politicians were touched by it. A couple of congresspeople from the western suburbs. So that little seven-year-old will be there, sweet kid. So, you know, you have hope. You have hope that it's going to be more than Mr. Speaker, the president of the United States. Hey! Half the room stands up, half the room doesn't. And an hour later, we forget it happened.
Well, doesn't every year, though, Steve, they call for unity? I mean,
yeah, that's the point.
It's a paragraph in a speech otherwise will be a rattle for the causes of the sitting president.
We'll see if the president can somehow stay off, oh, woe is me, everyone's out to get me, and actually talk about the greater good of the country.
I don't like these speeches as much as I like when Trump's at the rally. When the president's in front of Congress, he's buttoned up, he's got a script, he's reading off a teleprompter. I like the rally. I like controlled president.
Well, it's a famous story, right? Bill Clinton, the prompter went down, he ad-libbed the State of the Union for about 90% of it. The greatest entertainment value you'd get if the prompter goes down tonight or if somebody unplugs it. So we'll, of course, talk about it tomorrow. And we'll come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should.
It's Moron Entertainment, a service of Moron Industries. And
did we get incorporated?
Yeah, we were incorporated. Yeah.
Nice.
I woke up this morning and it was Inc. right after my name, INC.
Yeah, wait to see my paycheck this week.
It's going to be tremendous.
It's shared sacrifice, Dean.
That's a band I was in. Yeah. All right, now, I don't want to shortchange the big bozo news, because you know how much I love the clown.
You do.
But before we get to any of that, can we tighten up what's left of Super Bowl news here? Like your Adam Levine story?
Adam Levine had a response to all of the criticism of, you know, everyone saying that the performance was listless and, you know, there wasn't very much to it.
Is that all part of his new hit song, You Hurt My Feelings?
You Hurt My Feelings, Here Are My Nipples, is the full title of the single. He said, we thank the universe for this historic opportunity to play on the world stage, blah, blah. We thank our fans for making our dreams possible, blah, blah. And this is an interesting way of saying, I don't really care what people who are slamming me say. He says, we thank our critics for always pushing us to do better.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, he took the high road.
Yeah.
He took the high artistic road.
I may include that because right when you came to me here, I was busy writing a response to a nasty social media thing about me. So,
don't you have like prototypes? What's the word I'm looking for?
Like
the
cut and paste kind of thing.
Yeah, cut and paste thing ready to
start
go.
Your day with meteorologist Tracy Butler and ABC7 Eyewitness News.
Well, it's awkward, isn't it?
One of our favorite is I keep you in the heart.
Hold that thought.
We're having technical difficulties, Steve.
The button was in.
Maybe that the criticism that someone wrote is true.
So Steve just learned how to turn that off.
Why would it have been turned back off?
I think that you touch buttons.
I didn't touch a thing. Anyway, Tracy Butler apparently doing fine work over there at Channel 7.
We love the Tracy Butler.
What else?
All butlers, really. Any kind of butler you can think of.
Chasing the story. I swear to you, this was supposed to work. It doesn't work. The fix doesn't work.
Okay.
I can't touch my own computer.
Super Joe just threw down his headphones. Things are getting real here.
So, absolutely ridiculous. Dean, you're in the middle of telling us very important information.
You said, does he cut and paste a response to people who... You said you were answering a harassing message, Dean.
Right. Somebody's...
Do you give a standard line, or do you answer...
Usually I just delete them, because most of them are just nuts.
And there's no win. There's always the last word, and, oh, yeah, you are, that type of stuff.
Yeah. And I may wind up deleting this. Usually I write a really nasty response, something that would get me fired in an instant, and then I save it and then delete it later on. But it gives me great gratification just to write it.
That's good. That's like therapy-ish. Type it out and then delete.
Yep. Yeah, and he's clearly used his deductible within the company from therapy. There's no question about it. Big Boy in trouble?
Yeah, Big Boy. Oh, well, you know, Adam Levine, besides his response, he's also being criticized for people saying how come he got to show his nipples and it was no big deal. And there was, Janet Jackson almost lost her career when she did it.
Yeah, it's just...
back in the day, double standard.
No, it's not.
So that's also going on. But Big Boy is also being slammed by the group PETA, who's, on him because he wore that big old fur coat.
That's people for eating tasty animals?
That's people for the ethical treatment of animals, I believe.
Ooh, I'm in the wrong organization.
Title. PETA tweeted back, because, Big Boy was singing the song The Way You Move. Mm-hmm. PETA tweeted back, "The way you move is horrifying when animals have to die for your outfit."
Yeah, apparently they weren't familiar with Big Boy before Sunday.
Boy.
I saw the vegans, like Justin, are angry at one of the commercials from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, vegan shaming. Can we just save some time? Everybody's mad about something.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah.
No matter what you saw in the Super Bowl, somebody is mad about it.
That's why when we come back, we're going to lighten things up with Bozo and a death threat from Liam Neeson. Stand by for both.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
All right, back to Dean. More on entertainment. I don't know what to do with this Liam Neeson story because he said some rather horrific things, but in the emotion of the moment, I'm not sure the whole thing wasn't kind of blown out of proportion. Am I wrong?
I don't know. In an interview with the Independent newspaper, Liam Neeson admitted to going on a racist revenge rampage. I mean, it's something he could have never talked about, never said
anything about.
This new movie that he's got coming out, Cold Pursuit, is about revenge. It's very different from his Taken movies, which are also about revenge. But he never needed to bring up that he went out one night in his neighborhood when he was a young man looking for a black. These are his words: looking for a black person to come out of a bar and start something with him, so he could kill him. After he learned that a friend of his who was raped by a black person. And he says...
And to say he went on this random...
He was just looking for a black person.
Yeah, it's such a bizarre thing to even talk about.
It's a bizarre thing to talk about. It's a bizarre thing to bring up, but he did. He said that he got over it. He said that he feels horribly about it, that he's terribly ashamed about it. And that's all we know about this.
Has the traditional come out today and said, "I shouldn't have said what I said yesterday" statement been made yet?
No, he didn't. Yeah, he never said anything about moonwalking or anything.
right.
Anything like that.
Who'd like to see Liam Neeson moonwalk?
It's just, it's odd. It's so candid and so honest that it's a little bit startling.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
Yeah.
New Las Vegas residences, and we don't mean apartment buildings. This is where artists go, and they make a ton of money in short-term, long-term gigs. So who is in?
Yeah, this was just announced a few minutes ago, actually, that Steely Dan is going to do a Las Vegas residency in April and May.
Didn't Donald Fagen die?
Did he die? Can't remember.
I'm on it.
Didn't one of Steely Dan die? Steely Dan's two guys.
Either Steely or Dan?
You're thinking of England Dan and John Ford Coley.
I'd really love to see you tonight.
Donald Fagen appears to be alive, according to Wikipedia.
And?
So who's the other guy?
Walter Becker.
What about Peg? Is Peg still...
She'll come back if she is. She'll come back to you.
Walter Becker passed away in 2017.
So Walter Becker died a couple years ago. So who's the new Walter Becker?
Let me Google that.
Donald Fagen will be joined by John Harrington on guitar, Connor Kennedy on guitar, Keith Carlock on drums.
John Harrington, wasn't he the building manager on One Day at a Time? Was that him?
Freddie Washington, or as you know him, Freddie Boom Boom Washington. We'll be on bass, Jim Beard, and a four-piece horn section.
This is why we call it Moron Entertainment. Dean and I are now doing a challenge of who could come up with more outdated
the
references.
More obscure 70s TV show.
Now, the other residents that they assume people are going to pay for, other than Steely Dan, is Pitbull.
Yeah, and he's already done a Las Vegas residency. And he will be coming back to the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Tickets are going to go on sale this Saturday. For that, and that's going to be in the month of May.
Does he have a lot of hits
this year? He does.
Yeah, he's a.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah,
he does.
He's an international superstar. Which one do you know? Let's sing it.
No, we're not going to sing. No, but I will throw down with you in a challenge, a Pitbull challenge after 8:30.
I need Justin to get me started on a Pitbull. I can hear them all in my head. I can't get one out of my mouth though.
Timber,
Mr. Worldwide,
Colin Timber.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
He's Pitbull. He's the party.
And Fireball is the other one. That was big popular in our house.
He's sold more than 80 million singles.
Pitbull is the party.
80 million. That's a lot.
It's a lot of singles.
80 million singles.
Yeah.
On that. And
what's a single now? It's just a single download.
It's a... Right.
I miss the old days.
You're 45
with the record player that you lost the adapter for, and you had to try to center it so it wouldn't be warped. Oh, those are good times.
Those are good days.
All right, let's talk Bozo.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting. Dean has breaking news on a brand new Bozo special and family classics.
Well, you know, people have been so generous in watching our Bozo Garden Race special for the last 14 years, Steve. It plays around holiday time and is always a ratings breakthrough.
It is a big number, yeah.
Every year, people like crazy, even though the show's been on all these years, it's become a bit of a holiday tradition. And there's very little Bozo footage that was saved over the years. It's not like there's a library of Bozo shows. There simply is not. But we did find some new footage from the 1960s. We've had it digitally remastered, so it will look amazing. And we're going to present it in a brand new two-hour special called Bozo Circus, the 1960s. It'll be on Sunday, February 17th at 7 p.m.
So these are going to be highlights from the show?
This is going to be full-length segments where we've done as little editing as possible.
Okay.
Because we like to let these things run.
So people will see themselves as children?
Yes. Yes, they will. Yeah, because it's from the first decade of what many consider to be the most successful locally produced kids show in television history.
And was it ever revealed that there was some sort of bouncy material in the bucket so the ball would ricochet out? Was that ever revealed?
There was not. They put a little bit of cotton in the bottom of each of the buckets so the balls would not bounce right back out again, so it landed very softly.
I must be thinking of a carnival game involving dimes and dishes.
We also just announced that we have another Family Classics coming up.
What are you going to show?
Our WGN movie series that Roy Leonard and Fraser Thomas used to host back in the day. We're bringing back It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
It's a good movie.
With good Spencer movie. Tracy and just about every single comedy legend.
Every star every from that buzz. Day.
Right.
The late 60s.
This is going to be on, let's see, Sunday... Oh, say, wait, Sunday? 1 p.m. Sunday?
It's a car chase across the country for money, and I would encourage you, when the car scenes are going on, to not pay attention to the actors. Look at the window behind them and watch the scenery repeat over and over and over again, like the Flintstones' living room when Fred runs.
Isn't Jonathan Winters the cop?
Jonathan Winters is a nutty... he's a nutty... mechanic.
Oh, I thought he was a cop. Okay.
And then there's also Spencer Tracy kicks the
he's
bucket.
The cop. Yeah, he's the cop.
And he kicks
right. Who's
that?
Like the commish.
Well, the premise of this is Jimmy Durante is driving. He gets in a car accident, and several people, come to try to help him. And he reveals in a very cryptic sort of way where a huge amount of money has been buried. And that sets off this
everybody
massive search for people trying to find it. Sid Caesar.
Phil Silvers, Buddy Hackett.
Right. Buddy Hackett, Milton Berle. Really, anybody who is anybody in showbiz.
Yeah, what are the women in it? I don't remember.
Ethel Merman.
Ethel Merman.
There's no business like show business.
See, is Phyllis Diller in it? Carol Channing?
Edie Adams is in it.
Sure.
Ernie Kovacs, here's an interesting little fun fact. Ernie Kovacs was supposed to be in the movie, but when they were making the movie, he was killed in a car accident.
That's a terrible way to end this segment. Say something entertaining and funny now.
And I'm also told, I was just handed this note, that the footage on the show is not brand new footage that has never been revealed before. It's new footage that's been, it's footage that has been digitally remastered.
Oh, there you go. All right, now I'm upbeat.
Yeah.
Happy bozo to you.
Same to you.
I don't know what that means. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
That's Dean. That's more on entertainment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
And live from the Orion Samuelson headquarters, Orion joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Where are the headquarters today? I never know where in the world you are.
Well, there's a reason for that. I have to be in the witness protection program, so there's a reason for that. But I'm at the studios in Huntley, Illinois today.
Okay. And, oh, well, you're in our neck of the woods.
Yes. Oh, yes. And, well, we had to come back in time for the severe cold because we were getting too soft, and we had to get back and toughen up. And, of course, you know, there couldn't have been worse Chamber of Commerce weather for Scottsdale, Arizona than we saw on Sunday at the golf tournament, too. They had to be disappointed in the cold and the rain and everything else.
Let me tell you something. As a person who enjoys going to that tournament, I was loving that those people were wet and freezing and cold in Arizona.
Calmed them down.
Well, forget about calming them down.
I don't think it calmed them down.
I was enjoying. I was like, good. I want you to all to suffer since I can't be there.
It's that kind of love that makes it special. All right. So I was thinking about you the other day because we, you know, we're getting into a crucial time for farmers to plan for the new season. And does this wacky stretch of weather change plans?
No, really hasn't. The only concern the weather, I think, created, besides making it real tough for people who feed livestock and are in the dairy business, because you have to take care of the livestock regardless of the weather, but concern for the winter wheat crop and winter kill, because some of the areas where winter wheat is produced had very little snow cover, and you need snow cover to prevent winter kill from getting down into the soil, and so there is concern about that. And I guess I could answer a question I got from a viewer or from a listener a couple of weeks ago saying, why do they call it winter wheat? Well, they call it winter wheat because they plant it in the fall, and then the seed lies dormant in the soil over the winter. And then, as soon as we start warming up and getting good weather in the spring, farmers don't have to go out and plant. It's already there, and the winter wheat crop starts growing.
It's a hardy thing, then. It's something that could take that sort of temperature change.
If it has the snow cover, because snow cover does provide insulation for the ground and the seed where that winter wheat crop is. So, can I comment on something else, because it's a Super Bowl comment?
It's your segment, buddy. You can say anything you want. Besides, you're Orion Samuelson. You know that. You can say anything you want.
I was really bothered by the beer commercial, and I won't mention it. Don't want to give them publicity. But they kept putting on the screen during their commercial, no corn syrup. And that's all it said.
That's right. That turned into a whole Twitter argument.
Yeah, I know, and that's all it said. Didn't tell us why, didn't tell us if it was good or bad, but it certainly raised the question, I think, in the minds of viewers, well, if they're saying that, that must not be very good. And the chairman of the Iowa Corn Growers, I think, pretty well summed it up when he said, as a family farmer, I am disappointed that the beer company chose to denigrate corn in their Super Bowl ad as part of a marketing scheme to attack their competition. Then he went on to talk about the fact that corn is used in 4,000 different products that we use every day. Everything from corn-fed beef to ethanol to bourbon to makeup. And he summed up his statement by saying, saying, please leave us out of the beer wars. Support your local corn farmers by standing with us and choosing products that include corn. And Mark Recker is the chairman of the Iowa Corn Growers. I couldn't agree with him more.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know anybody that drinks beer, especially on Super Bowl Sunday, that said, hold on, let's check it for corn syrup. If they like beer, they're going to drink beer.
Absolutely. And but just putting that line on there raises questions, I'm sure, in the minds of, well, is there something wrong with it?
What's suppose wrong? So.
Well, yeah. You know, I wonder, because, yes, there's no doubt about it that you know, this was obviously an attack on another, you know, beer company. But corn syrup has become this thing in American culture and maybe around the world, as it is something that is negative because of the high levels of sugar, and it shows up in so many different bad products. So is there a way to say that maybe you can sort of separate the syrup from the rest of what corn gives us in our society?
Well, you can, but my doctor has never told me don't drink corn or anything with corn syrup. And I think the concern is the calories or whatever it is. There is concern on the part of people.
Well, but mostly there's a lack of understanding of people don't know what they're putting in their bodies. This is just like, oh, we never knew corn syrup was in there. And because the word corn is in it, they didn't know it was a sugary, you know, like it's a ignorance part on the consumer.
Well, I've always heard the phrase high fructose corn syrup. I've never heard it just called corn syrup. And I go back to the basics here. From an advertising standpoint, I think they wasted their clients' money.
I would agree. Yeah. But you know me and labeling. I've gotten so tired of almond milk and soy milk, and now I'm getting on the fake meat bandwagon, because on the noon show yesterday with Steve Bertrand, he talked to folks from a company that are now making meat in the laboratory. Well, all I'm saying is, if restaurants put it on the menu, I hope they will not call it a beef burger or a pork burger. I hope they will call it a laboratory burger, because that's what it is.
And serve it in a laboratory coat.
Yes.
You know, maybe even a test tube burger jammed in there good. What are you expecting in the markets today?
Markets today, probably not much, because they're waiting for the State of the Union message tonight on Wall Street. And so I would guess markets may end a little bit higher. They're trading higher this morning. But as far as the grain or the livestock markets, we just don't have volatility in those markets anymore. And China is again buying some soybeans. And so hopefully that'll help the soybean market.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Go have yourself a beer laced with corn syrup.
I'll do that, yes.
All right, see you, bud.
Okay.
That's Orion Samuelson. Coming back with Greg Hines in just a moment. This Danny Solis story has just got so many wacky tentacles to it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Greg Hines writes for Cranes and does it well, and joins us now to talk about this wild story of Danny Solis wearing a wire, Ed Burke being accused of crimes, Mike Madigan maybe being tied to it, and has a story in Cranes that explains how this all broke in the Sun Times last week. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, sir.
Nice to have you on the show. I want people to read the piece, and frankly, it's too long to explain in the four or five minutes that we have here, but what jumped out most for you?
Well, this is just a terrific story. It's completely changed the arc of mayoral election. It's made it even crazier than it was, and it's just how, you know, a combination of somebody making an error, shrewd reporting, and a newspaper that decided to report what it did, even though the federal judge who was following this case didn't want him to. It's just classic Chicago journalism.
It really is. Greg, it's so interesting too, because this story was not. I mean, there's some great reporting in it as well, but this really came about because of an error.
Yeah, the basis for the Sun-Times stories is a search warrant request that the feds filed 4 or 5 years ago, the FBI filed. And when you do that, you have to tell the judge why. You have to explain. So they went into some great detail on some of the stuff they had on Solis. And it was supposed to be, it's filed and it's posted on the federal court's computer blog system, but it was supposed to have been sealed. and it wasn't sealed for some reason. Anybody who knows isn't saying why. And the Sun-Times got it. Whether they got a tip, whether they were just doing due diligence and checking all the filings every day, or maybe both, I don't know. But they got it, and that opened the door.
Now, the judge in this case, he was very strong to the Sun-Times when he found out the Sun-Times had it, saying, don't publish it, there will be consequences. We still don't know if there will be consequences, but where are we with the judge and his directive?
Well, the judge isn't talking either, but my sources tell me that the judge ordered the Sun-Times not to publish the contents of this affidavit. They did anyhow, and the question is whether he'll do anything about it. The problem is that what the judge is actually a magistrate judge, not a full judge. The problem is that what he wanted amounted to prior restraint, which is a fancy legal term. What it means is you can't print something. We don't do that in this country. Your older readers will remember the Pentagon case.
Sure.
A generation or two ago, Pentagon Papers. Well, that was about prior restraint. Well, there's lots of Supreme Court decisions that suggest that you can't do that, which maybe explains why the U.S. Attorney's Office, the prosecutors here, weren't very wild about this order, as I understand it.
The story, as you said, good journalism, and reads like, well, there's another shoe to drop, possibly, you know, a whole closet full of them. Should we read anything into the fact that we haven't seen a follow-up in 4 or 5 days?
Maybe, maybe not. The Sun-Times is kind of dribbling the stuff out. All I know is this: the search warrant application was, I believe, over 100 pages reportedly. Nobody's actually seen it other than the Sun-Times, but that's what they indicated. One would think there's a lot more stuff in there than what we've seen so far, but we'll see.
Where does this go for you? I mean, you know, your reporter radar goes off, and where do you, you know, without giving away what your plans are, what do you chase next?
Well, the obvious question is are there more shoes to drop, further complicating this mayoral race? I mean, the two front runners here, presumed front runners, Tony Preckwinkle and Susana Mendoza, both have been dinged pretty badly. Maybe they can recover if there's no more, but if there is more, then, you know, the rest of the field picks up. So that's what I'm looking at.
The thing that struck me about this, and I'll let you go on this, Greg, is Ed Burke and Mike Madigan have always seemed too smart to be this stupid. But there is the notion that after years and years of maybe bending the rules, you get a little lazy, a little careless. The people you talk to, have they indicated that they share that belief, or is that something you haven't been hearing?
I draw a distinction between Madigan and Burke. If you read this stuff carefully, I'm not sure they have anything actionable on Mac Madigan. I mean, he's not on tape, at least from tapes we've seen so far, saying give me legal work or else. He just says I'm a good firm and you ought to hire me, you know. And if there's dots to be connected, he didn't do it himself on tape. On the other hand, the stuff on Mr. Burke looks pretty clear, and Ed Burke has a much different reputation. I've been hearing for decades tales like this at City Hall, that people who had things before his committee, he'd kind of sidle up and drop his card and say, hey, I'm in the legal property tax business. You really ought to hire my company. Wink.
It's just so Chicago. It just amazes me.
Oh,
I don't know why it amazes me, but it does. Greg Hines does great work in Cranes. Get it, read it, subscribe to it, rinse and repeat. Thank you, Greg.
Appreciate it, sir.
I appreciate you coming on.
I wonder how often that happens.
I wonder how tense it is at Denny Solis's house.
There was one time I was working at WBEZ where there was a redacted Blagojevich document. It was during the Blagojevich trial. And whoever did it for the Blagojevich defense, and it was sent over, they just used Word to do it. So you could go to the button and actually take the black ink off of the document and see what was redacted. And it's that kind of stuff. I wonder how often it happens where it's just clerical errors that lead to these big stories
in
Chicago.
Wouldn't you think that we're at a point in 2019 where you've got at least a few kids under the age of 35 in your office who would go, no, don't do that, do this?
There's a site, it's called Pacer, that's where it comes to, that all the federal court documents are posted to, and a lot of them are sealed. You don't get a chance, so I don't know how it's possible
it's
that they put
amazing
up something that wasn't sealed.
Any chance it was intentional?
Possibly,
right.
And I think Greg points it out both in this interview and in the article that whether they were tipped, if the Sun-Times, if someone said, psst, you might want to check this out.
I still have a strong feeling we're going to get another shoe or two before the next week is up in the next 10 days. We'll see. There's that legal argument that Greg brought up as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I wonder if because it was a clerical error, the
the what do you call it? The spigot has dried up, meaning there's no more information, you know, because it, they got all of it from that clerical error.
See, what I was thinking is the other side of that, and that is, okay, we're not going to push you legally on this, but if you write one more thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Grzanich, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, next on 720 WGN.
His name is Pete McMurray. Don't you know?
He's on the radio. Filling in that GM. And we're so glad that he's back here again. Just a matter of
your
time.
False modesty is ridiculous. You're acting like you don't know what this is. You begged John DeCoste, the musical director of this show, to do a song for you for months.
Hold on, I'm cracking up here. I'm crying.
He did one, and you should be thanking him.
I don't know where the song is. I've been trying to find it.
It's right on the radio. Joe's got just it. Now. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
I just lost it. Sorry, dude.
Send it to me.
Accidentally deleted.
It's only been played twice on the air.
And honestly, isn't that enough? How are you, buddy?
I'm a dancer, Steve. Thank you.
You know, I mentioned a few times because, you know me, I like to be invited. I just don't like to show up for anything.
Right.
And the Dancing with the Stars people, they asked me to do this thing that you're doing several times.
Okay.
And I wanted to give the others a chance.
Well, I appreciate
that. So I said no. No, I mean the other people in town. So Dancing with the Chicago Stars is about to get underway. Have you met your partner yet?
I have. Her name is Danny Adkins at Arthur Murray in Lakeview.
Adkins?
Adkins.
A-D?
A-D-K-I-N-S, yes.
All right. Well, I look her up. Why don't you explain to me whether
really,
you're qualified?
You're really into the spelling of the last name.
Well, if I'm
really
going to find it, it saves my Google time.
Danny has made everything easy. The first two questions, here's a question. The first two questions they ask you is, number one, what dancer would you model yourself after?
Okay. Who did you select?
Who would you guys say?
For you?
Well, for you or for
not
us?
Not for me, for yourself.
Well, obviously, I'm more of an Astaire.
Okay.
No, I think as a, you know, as a big brawny dude, I'd say Gene Kelly. I'm more of a Gene Kelly.
Okay.
I'd like to go a little Gregory Hines, a little tap.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I said Danny Kaye.
All right.
Because Danny he could K, sing, dance, dancer. And he was funny.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That works.
Okay. You kind of look like him.
No, well, he had a big nose. Okay. Thanks,
I didn't
Mayor.
Say that.
Uh-huh. And the second question is, what dance do you want to do? What dance would you choose?
Ooh. Did you say that thing where John Travolta's carrying the paint can and the pizza at Saturday Night Fever?
I said I want to dance like Al Pacino in Son of a Woman. And Danny said to
dance
me...
Dance like a blind guy?
Danny said to me, no, the tango. Danny said to me, you're going to learn this dance in 3 weeks and you're going to master it in six. I'm like, I like you already.
Is that how long you have? 6 weeks of practice?
6 weeks, yeah.
So you're doing the tango?
I'm doing the tango.
Oh, wow, that's great.
That's not a fast dance.
The tango, I will guarantee you I will win this. Because, Mary, as you know, it's not about the dance. It's about
it's
the attitude and the costume.
Yep. Now, here's the thing. I know...
You got it.
You've been married long enough that your wife doesn't care
she
that
doesn't.
You're doing this.
Right.
But did you pick the tango because Danny is hot?
Danny is beautiful, yes.
Is that why you picked the tango?
But she's a even
is that
better,
why you picked the
she's
tango?
An even better dancer.
Is that why you picked the tango?
I've always been a fan of Son
is
of a Woman.
Is that why you picked the tango?
The first thing that came to my mind was Al Pacino and Son of a Woman.
Because here's why I bring it up.
Yes.
She's seen that move. She's experienced creeps like you before.
I'm very respectful.
Okay, good.
It's interesting, and Mary, you can answer this. When you dance with someone that you just met, it's a very intimate thing as you're touching each other and mm-hmm. holding hands. Mm-hmm. But
it's how Dave and I met.
What they do at Arthur Murray is they make you feel comfortable right away. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And this is what we're going to do looking forward.
Do you have dance experience?
Zero.
Okay.
None.
All right.
And I will
what
guarantee
about, what about
I'm gonna
at weddings?
Win this. Well, sure. Absolutely. After a few pops, yeah.
Do you shy away from dancing prior to this experience?
No.
So you're always willing to dance?
Absolutely.
Were you would you dance in high school?
I did not dance in high school, no.
Did you have high school dances? Or?
Well, sure. Yeah, I danced.
So did
Wait,
you?
I mean, Pete McMurray's life is a dance. He's always like in costume.
Moving around.
Looking to be the center of attention.
You know, mm-hmm. that type
hey,
of human.
Hey, look at me. Pete, hey, look at me, McMurray. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah. Pete, in the tango, you really have to have, you can't be, you know, you're always happy, and mm-hmm. you can't be happy in the tango. You have
be
to be
intense.
Like intense and have this.
Intense, this sharp
face.
Moves.
You right?
must
have that
you
tango
must
space.
Be filled
you have to be passionate.
Right.
Yes. Passion and lust.
It's about the attitude, guys.
It's about heat and lust and passion.
I want to hear what your costume is.
Do you want to hear my costume?
Yes.
So we're dancing the tango.
By the way, I'm looking at Danny Atkins here. She's a beautiful girl. She should stay away from you.
Do you see the quote? The quote? Don't part with your illusions. When they are gone, you may still exist, but you have ceased to live.
Oh,
the words of Danny Atkins.
Very deep.
Did you have a quote that you wanted to throw out as well?
Don't suck. That's my quote. Yes, absolutely.
Joe Madden.
Well, now, what were you going to say?
Try not.
Oh, his costume.
My costume. So I'm doing the tango with Danny. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing a white tuxedo, and we're coming out and dancing to the James Bond theme.
Oh, wow.
Right there,
that's
I win.
Good, yeah.
Dun, 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 yes. dun, dun.
Who else,
dun,
who dun, else dun, is dun. In the competition?
Jason McKee, former Bear. Mm-hmm. Courtney Guzman from WGN-TV and some other.
Oh, we love
TV.
Courtney.
Oh, gotta, she's, you're going to lose.
Courtney. Yeah, Courtney's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the football players,
she's
too.
She's good. I mean, and she's like a...
Plus, she's young. You're old.
It's all about the attitude.
It is. It's about the attitude. Thank you, Justin.
Courtney's really good.
It's about the attitude.
Maybe her partner sucks.
Somebody from Fox, somebody from ABC. Okay. Yeah, I don't even know their names.
Gene Greco or?
No, they're reporters. But the bottom line, the reason that I'm in here today is because we're raising money. It's just not about dancing. We're raising money to fight against breast cancer.
Okay.
Jill DeMarlo, who started this 14 years ago, she's raised over, the company Arthur Murray has raised over $2.5 million.
Wow. Oh, that's great. Good for them.
So I'm asking people to go to my Facebook page, Pete McMurray, and donate $2. 5,000 people, 2,000, 10 grand, I'm done. That's my goal.
That's great.
Simple.
Some of us have already donated. I know I gave $10.
Thank you, Mary.
Pete Zimmerman gave $2.
Thank you, Pete.
Wait, where do we go?
So that's $12. Yeah. You're asking for two. You divide that.
Mary
right?
gave 10, yeah, so she covered me.
She covered us.
I gave $1,000 to my wife and kid today for a completely different deal, so I don't know if I have any money for you.
Well, thank you for that. Pete McMurray on Facebook. It's right on the front page.
But I have to tell you, you know, it's not just how you dance, it's how much money you raise. It's a combined thing.
I know.
Well, that goes into the score at the end, like how much you...
Does it?
Does it really? Huh? I didn't know that.
They won't tell you.
Oh, I didn't know.
Like
a conspiracy theory. This might be a
Well, I'm not sure. Was it our Dancing with the Stars one? It did. So, you know, you have to be both. You have to be successful in the fundraising, and you have to be good out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're Lebanese. You can get this done in like 4 minutes.
Exactly. If I can't raise $10,000
in 6 weeks.
You ought
to be able to get 10 grand just out of your 14 siblings.
Exactly.
Are you going to grow your chest hair for an open shirt look?
You know
for
what?
Tango?
I don't know. I haven't decided if I'm going to let it go, Tom Selleck, or maybe trim it up.
You're not going to put a rose in
your
mouth,
I know
are you?
You're a trimmer.
Maybe.
You're a man.
Oh, yeah, you're
when
a trimmer.
When is this? Yeah. When's
well,
because
he's a head-to-toe hair guy. Weeks? He has talked at length about trimming his body hair.
I don't want to creep people out, but if you're listening, Pete's hair is growing right now while you're listening to him.
I just grew a beard since I've got on the air. Justin, thank you for asking. Yes. It's Friday, March 8th at the Hyatt on Wacker.
So you've got some time to grow some chest hair.
I love the
I do.
Yeah.
Is the public welcome?
Anybody is welcome. And
are you getting a table for the morning show?
Oh, that's a good point. You should buy a table.
Well, no one's going to show. I mean, come on. Dave Bennett would. Mary would say that she is and cancel at the last minute.
I'll come.
Mary Sandberg would show.
Oh, Mary Sandberg.
Wait a second. You just, Mary Vanderbilt, you're Mary the one Vanderbilt. That would commit and then cancel. I
Me?
Would just say no from
when
the beginning.
Why do I cancel anything?
You always say, I wish I wouldn't have said I was going.
What? It's a dance. I'd go to that.
If you guys want to go, I'll make it happen.
I supported Carmen.
Everything is tax deductible. So if you donate $2, tax deductible. If you buy a ticket to the event, it's tax deductible. All the money
raised.
Let me
tell you something. If you donate $2 and you tell your accountant you want to deduct that, that's an issue.
All the money raised goes to fight against breast cancer here in Chicago. Every cent.
Well, it's nice.
Yes.
It's a good cause.
Yeah.
You want to hang around a second?
Sure.
Of course, what do you got to do?
I don't really have anything. This is nice hanging out with you guys. Yeah.
Nice to have people who actually want you to stay around.
Right.
Your wife tells you to leave the house, I tell you stick for a segment or two.
Thank you. Can we hug?
Yeah, don't you have to go practice or something?
I have the video on my phone. I've been practicing.
Oh, you should watch.
We're on CLTV right now.
Yeah.
How about you and I do the tango next segment?
Great. I can show you.
Do you know any of the parts yet?
Yeah, you just spell it out in your head. T-A-N-G-O. It's very simple.
I don't know how that helps the dance, but okay.
You move.
All right, now I've got to, I got to anchor this thing. So, Dave, would you tango with Pete so we can just see what kind of chops he has?
I'm not much of a tangler.
Well, take a shot.
I think Mary would be. How about Mary Vanderbilt?
Well, that's a good idea. Vanderbilt, you dance.
Yeah,
come
Vanderbilt
on in.
Come in there.
Oh,
come on in.
Come on, Mary.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I don't dance.
Mary, do you know the tango?
Mary Vanderbilt.
Does she know the tango?
I know. I just Justin.
Yes, of course she does.
She's on her way in right now.
I was forced to take dance lessons from age 3 till 18. So I had to miss school thing functions because of it, and so I'm mad.
So we're both dancers.
So for our friends at CLTV, where should they
dance? She just threw her clothing into her traffic booth.
She's putting a costume on?
Yeah, she just threw her sweater.
Samber,
I saw.
Where should they dance?
For the
to be picked up on camera,
Mary, right there.
Oh,
right there. Yeah, because there's a shot right here.
Okay, so
yes, perfect, perfect.
All right, so for those of you listening on the radio, which is the majority of
you, look at that form.
They have gone directly into tango form.
I'm going backwards.
Do we need tango music?
And oh, there's a James Bond thing. So far, it looks like tango for those who are tango insufficient. Well, don't run her into a wall. Bring her back this way.
Let's move out. Need
more space.
All right.
So McMurray backpedaling now towards the window. And...
Yay! All right, so Mary Vanderbilt, does he feel like a dancer to you?
You need to do a little more.
Well, it's only been a week.
Yeah, okay. No, you do it good.
The form.
He's a little stiff.
No, I like it. I like the form.
But the tango's about fluidity.
It's been a week.
Fluidity, love.
It's been a week.
I have to say, Mary, you are, of course, being the veteran on the squad when it comes to dancing. Pete, the form, the tango form, like the way you set your stance seemed right.
Thank you, Justin. Yeah, thank you for noticing.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm. You got to put your thumb in his armpit.
That's.
And they told me like right here on your shoulder blade. And keep
elbow up.
I look like Al Pacino.
So you do have to put your thumb in his pit?
Mm-hmm.
It looks good.
It's not pleasant.
Sometimes.
I wear roll-on. That's the problem.
Sometimes it's not
you're
pleasant.
Gonna be
Mary,
awesome.
You're good.
Other I'm
times?
Excited.
Yeah.
Thank you for that quick clinic.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you.
That was great, guys.
I'm looking at the other people who you're competing against here.
Yes.
Erica Sargent from Channel 2. I bet she's good.
Yeah.
I don't know Mark Rivera from Channel 7, but he looks young,
mm-hmm.
So he's probably flexible.
Right. They're all super skinny. Have you noticed that?
Are they all TV people?
Jason McKee, former Chicago Bear.
Pete, do you get to know
Courtney Guzman and Michelle Allegra?
They're doing?
I don't know anything about it. I'm trying to have each one of them on the radio here,
right,
to kind of find out a little bit.
Soften
them
up.
Trash.
Right. Soften them up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem like a lot. Are there only 6 competitors?
Well, how many do you want?
In the past, I think there's been 9.
Yeah, you were rattling off a lot when you first mentioned who else was in it. And then there's only a few on the website.
Okay. Yeah,
well, maybe they
6.
Haven't all fully committed. Maybe they backed off after they found out Pete was in it. They were scared.
It could be. I think there's only 6 in this competition.
What do you get? What do you win?
You don't win anything. You win a trophy.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Sure.
You get a trophy, like a mirror ball trophy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big trophy.
And you raised money and awareness for research in breast cancer.
Thank
research,
you.
Right?
Thank you for bringing it back to the charity, Justin.
It's so much
what
fun.
It's about.
It's just so
it's
much
about.
Fun to do.
Right.
How often do you work out with the trainer?
Twice a week. Tonight, we do a double session, 90 minutes. And by the way, I love it. I never thought I'd love it so much. I love the dancing.
Well, you work out. You take care of yourself. So you're probably not as sore as some might be.
But it's fun. I'm trying to get my wife to go.
Well, she's not going to go dancing.
I think she is. I think I talked her into it.
Are there other people in the studio when you're taking your session?
There is, yeah. Yeah, couples, some kids.
Have you taken your wife dancing before?
You mean gone out dancing?
Yeah.
Where do you go out dancing in the city? Where do you go?
Clubs and things. There's lots of places.
I mean, clubs like underground?
Yeah.
Not underground.
There's places you can go and dance.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have not.
Yeah. So why would you go now?
Well, we learn a dance, and then we go out and dance, or we, you know, dance at a wedding.
That's very
I think
romantic.
It's the process.
Very romantic.
I don't want to speak for the people who've done it, but it's the process and the connection, the
it
couple.
Is. It is. Yeah, really, you're spending time together. It's like
not really
night.
Like what you do after the fact. It's the whole concept of doing it together.
Steve, it's all about the journey. It's about the journey.
Has Danny Atkins at any point in this said to you, don't ever do that again?
She has said you're doing great. No, she's very positive.
Okay, so there's not that's wrong, don't do that.
They're such great people. I can't say enough about Arthur Murray in Lakeview. Amy runs the place. Amy Novotny, she's been fantastic. She said, you're going to screw up. That's why you have 6 or 7 weeks to learn this thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a vicious competition. Were you waiting all these years to be asked to do this, like by the phone? Was
you
this
know
like
what?
A great call?
They asked me a few years ago, and I didn't do it, and I didn't realize that it was tied into a charity for breast cancer. 1 in 8 women, Steve, are diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah, more.
Yeah. I'm sure we all know someone.
Sure.
Did you pick breast cancer, or they picked breast cancer?
They picked breast cancer.
Yeah, that's cool. That's their umbrella charity.
Yeah.
That's what got me on the donation, because when Pete posted, I thought, do I want to donate? But my mom is a breast cancer survivor.
Yeah, my sister. Yeah, we all know someone.
Yeah, my mom, yeah.
So I decided to give the 10.
We don't know these people well, but I have nothing but positives to say about Erica Sargent. This Mark Rivera guy looks shifty to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
he does.
I think he had a shot against him. Jason McKee. Jason looks like a nice guy, but
he's a fullback, so he just runs straight ahead.
Yes.
So maybe... And yeah, Courtney, got him a lateral movement.
Courtney Guzman is looking to take you down, and
she's
probably Michelle
the odds-on favorite, Courtney, from WGN TV, I would say.
Well, I wish you luck, buddy.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me in. Go to my Facebook page, Pete McMurray. All I need is $2 from everyone listening right now. That's it.
I just donated.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks for the dance.
Dave, are you going to do this in the future?
Yeah, I don't want to log on to Facebook on this computer because it's a public computer.
What are you hiding?
What exactly? What are you hiding?
Yeah.
No, I'm not hiding anything.
You could go to
I don't know who else uses this
tinyurl.com/teampete. tinyurl.com/teampete.
Are you familiar with the words log and out?
Doesn't always work.
I can see Enid doing this.
I can see Enid having something to hide.
Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with a Chicago celebrity. Absolutely.
No, I don't think, because it's during basketball season. When do I have the time?
That's naughty.
All we have is time, Dave.
That is amazing right there. That is Super Joe is a genius.
He's strong. There's no doubt about it. Coming up, Breakfast with a Blackhawk. Connor Murphy will join us here in a couple of minutes. Thank you, Pete.
Love you guys.
And watch you on social media, Facebook and other places. You'll post video of the training,
yes.
Sure?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And the website for this is amdwcc.org.
Or just go to my Facebook page and it takes you right there.
Boy, you'll do anything for a
Pete
donation,
McMurray.
Won't you?
Yes, yeah. I want to raise money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Charity.
Dave, I don't know that you should write your sports on a public computer. You never know who's watching.
Look, I'm concerned about the security of the company. I don't want to pick up any viruses or anything.
Sure. Right. Why don't you tell Vladimir we said hello? 9:32. Back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Here's Kane into the Sabre zone, top of the right circle, to Murphy, high slot, shoot, he scores! Connor Murphy with a hard wrist shot from about 15 feet inside the Sabre blue line.
Let's go. 3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Connor Murphy, back on the show. Apparently the last time you were on, Connor, it went well because we re-invited you.
I don't mind that.
Congratulations. Got a nice run going here. How do the boys keep it going?
It's been great. Yeah, I think just kind of coming together as a team. And obviously we had some new guys a little while ago, a couple trades, and it's starting to click a little bit. And guys... getting chemistry going, so it's nice, and obviously road wins feel good, so it'll be huge for us to have another one tonight and then get back home and play a lot better there too.
Have you been superstitious at all in your career? Like, have you changed your underwear since the streak started or anything like that?
No, I don't go that crazy. I have my routines, I'd say, but the clothing definitely gets changed. I definitely got to stand that. It'd be pretty gross.
So you do the laundry?
Yeah, I do laundry.
I should ask Tony Esposito or even Savvy and the old guys about that. Can you imagine how nasty it would be if a hockey player didn't change clothes? Oh, man.
We shower a lot, though. You'd be surprised. Like, we were talking the other day, we practice in the morning and then every game at night, and usually, like, shower right when you get up, so you shower after every skate and then usually shower after every nap, and we love our naps too, so that's got to be 4 or 5 showers a day.
I don't get Dave in here, but something else came up last week that I haven't asked any of the guys, and you know, being a hockey nut like I am, And I played at the highest level on my pond near my house when I was a kid. But last week when we had wind chills of 50 and 60 below, when do hockey players get cold? Like, do you get cold at your house? Do you ever feel like, wow, I need a jacket? When does a hockey player feel like he's cold?
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone gets pretty cold. I think just, I don't know if that's just a stereotype playing that way, just because when you're playing, a lot of people have tried skating. You know how hard it is and how much kind of a total body workout it is. So it definitely gets your heart rate up pretty high. So you definitely get a good sweat going. So you don't really feel too much cold when you're playing. But other than that, yeah, I wasn't handling the cold last week too well, that's for sure.
It's hard for me to picture, like, you know, Duncan Keith with a blankie on at home because he's chilly.
Yeah, he's different. He's a different breed, though. That guy's nuts. So.
I watched the thing that Duncan Keith did with Catherine Tappan, though, for NBC, and he said that he doesn't mind the cold, but the wind is the thing that he cannot handle here.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But my favorite quote throughout the rest of the day will be Connor Murphy saying, "Yeah, that guy's nuts." That's all I needed. David.
Hold that up however you want. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Connor, 11 goals in two games since the break. You were part of it on Friday night at Buffalo with a goal. Is there anything that you think was it the break kind of good for this team, even though you were coming off a couple of wins, to kind of get a little bit of rest and get refreshed for the stretch run here?
It's always nice. Yeah, I think, you always look into it probably more than you need to, whether it's off losses or wins and wanting to keep a momentum or gain energy or however that'll work. It's always nice to regroup mentally and get away.
We lose our eye. Nope. Still with us, Connor? Wonder how long I'll be willing to wait. Connor Murphy! We lost him.
Reconnect there.
Let's reconnect because we still have a question to ask him.
Is it something I said to him?
Yeah. Yeah, he's obviously angry. It's the MB Financial Bank Breakfast with the Blackhawk.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Back with Connor Murphy. We got a bad cell line there, but we are back now. Dave, were you done offending Connor where he hung up on us, or did you have something else to offend him?
I think I've already done the damage here. Sorry about that, Connor.
Justin.
That's right, Dave. No, I gotta stop ignoring my cell phone bills. I just kind of toss them to the side of the counter.
Yeah, you got to pay those, man. You got to pay
them. When you guys have success like you've had in the last four games, and it's obvious you're scoring a lot of goals, especially in the last two, is there something that inside the locker room that you guys can pinpoint that we're not maybe paying attention to, that you're improving upon, that is making you win these games?
Well, I don't know. I think... it's nice to see when you start getting wins, you kind of overcome those losing streaks early in the year. Guys can just kind of play their game and have fun with it. And you look at, the one detail, our power play's been clicking really well, and you see the plays Kaner's making on that half fall and the streak he's been on too, scoring and setting up plays. So some guys just start getting in a rhythm, and you start figuring out tendencies and stuff as the year gets going in the second half, and seems to be working a little better.
I got a little mini home stretch coming. That's always good. Since moving here, have you developed a love for Chicago?
Yeah, definitely. It's I've gone up to Lincoln Park, up and running there now, and had my family after Christmas, and we're all commenting it's been the favorite spot that we've been so far. And it's an unreal city, and I think even in the winter, it's got a lot to like around the holidays.
Sure.
And enjoy the season. So, I haven't spent the whole summer in Chicago yet, but it's unbelievable.
You'll love it,
Connor. You mentioned playing with Patrick Kane, and he's having like an MVP season. Does it ever not impress you? Like, do you become numb to playing around that genius, or is it impressive every single thing he does on the ice?
It's impressive. He's one of those guys that you kind of tell people when they ask you about the team and stuff. So he's a name that comes up that just every day, it just seems like he's, you can't find anything in the off day in him. Like, he just goes out and it's just easy. It looks easy for him. His body works really hard, but he's on all the time, and he's able to make plays and carry the team, even when the game gets intense. He's a guy, him and CC Taser also recently, but Kinner's a guy that just steps up and makes a play. He's got three guys on him. He'll find a way to find space and create a chance as well, and he's a competitor. So it's fun to see, and definitely one of the guys you look at just as being lucky to have played with your career.
You know, Connor, you'll have to go to YouTube to see these videos because you won't remember because you weren't alive, but Magic Johnson did things with a basketball that nobody saw coming. Pistol Pete Maravich did things with a basketball that'd be fun for you to see on YouTube. But I mean, that's what Kanter reminds me of on the ice. He does things with a puck that you don't see other people do.
He definitely does, and I mean, you'll have practice days like even yesterday. We have we'll do a little mini game, just 3-on-3, just kind of mixing all fun and competitiveness, and everyone's kind of doing their normal thing, involved in the puck a little bit, and then he grabs it and goes. When he gets down by the goal line and goes bar down, it's just, it kind of stops everyone. You look at each other and you're like, oh, that's just him. So it makes it fun.
You got the Oilers, then home for the Canucks and the Red Wings, at Boston, home for the Devils and the Blue Jackets. It's going to be a good run here. So let's keep it going.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be a lot of fun.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go.
Thanks.
Connor,
did you ask him the question from the listener?
You know what? I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Sandberg, what do you like best when you're on the ice playing hockey?
Well, I like that it's a team sport, and I feel like I'm something bigger.
Congratulations, Michael Heaven. Michael Heaven, thanks to Sandberg's honesty about her playing career, is a big winner of an autographed hockey puck from the Chicago Blackhawks and MB Financial Bank.
If I have to be honest about my playing career, I only have ever played shinny hockey in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
But I do watch a lot of hockey.
That's where you take a stick and you smack somebody in the shins.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming back with more in a second here on 720 WGN.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, my mind, I'm playing now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Thank you, Anna. Tonight, the State of the Union, a little girl from Naperville, 7-year-old second grader named Allie Bland, will be one of two congressional guests helping raise awareness about the impact of the government shutdown, where a Western suburban support agency couldn't do the work they needed to do because of the shutdown. But little Allie, who lost her dad, a Marine pilot, in a training accident when she was only 6 months old, gets to go meet the president and other people tonight. And she writes inspirational sentences at her kitchen table that she hands out to people to make them feel better, including, "I keep you in my heart where you won't get lost." Mm. Isn't that nice?
That was nice.
Sweet kid. So you'll see her tonight as well. Bill and Wendy, in a moment, 720 WGN. Hey, if I remember, I'll be live tweeting the State of the Union address tonight. It's a 50-50 shot, I will, at Cochran Show on Twitter. Bill and Wendy are here. How are you?
Fine. What's a sample tweet that people can look forward to from you later on, Steve? Just a sample.
Yeah.
I'm tired. It's getting late.
Oh.
Hashtag, when is this crap over? Something like that. You know,
I'm just looking forward to Adam Levine. He's so good.
Now, is he saying when they say Mr. Speaker, in this case, yeah. Madam Speaker,
yeah.
President of the United States, is that when Adam Levine
He'll
plays?
Come out.
Say hey, hey, yep. Hey, baby, hey.
Five songs.
My greatest nightmare is that Trump whips his shirt off to show his tattoos.
That would make me throw up. I'm sorry. That just would.
So seconds ago, Sandberg and Wendy were talking about the cost of hair cuts.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to compare and contrast. Bill, what do you pay for a haircut?
$6.80.
Where's that?
In 1964.
That's the last time you had a haircut?
Yeah.
It just stopped growing?
Yeah, it stopped.
Well, seems odd. Dave, what do you pay for a haircut?
I pay $22 plus tip, and I usually tip like $8 to $10.
Yeah, it's good. That's good. You're a celebrity.
Wait, Dave, do you go to Sports Clips?
I was just going to ask that.
No, that's a good idea, but I don't.
He wears a referee outfit right, when he goes.
It'd be cool if he went to Sports Clips, looked at the TV, and did calls while they were cutting his hair. I pay $20 for this.
$20?
It takes about 45 seconds to go high and tight, and I tip $20 because I feel like I wasted their time.
Wow.
What does Justin pay for his tight haircut?
I pay for every 5 years or so, I pay for a Norelco shaver, and I just shave my head.
Did I ask you about this? Did you see the one with a car? It's like a toy car.
Yeah.
There's a blade at the bottom.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. It looks cool, yeah. It's for for the car enthusiasts among us.
Yeah, so you can go,
I'm flabbergasted as a man at how much the discrepancy between what it costs to have a woman get a haircut and a man get a haircut.
Yeah.
Well, Sandberg, apparently, you just had a partial hit job here, and it still cost you $200 or
something. I had a partial highlight, and that was $178. That's my haircut is $96, and then
What?
96. Yeah.
You know what I call $178?
Yeah, I'm not going to
September.
Place,
it's the first 9 months of the year.
But regardless, still double what, I mean, if you're not paying 96, it's double what Dave's paying to get his hair cut.
Right. That's, they say that about all women's things. Our razors are more money. Yeah. Our deodorant costs cleaning. More. Yep. So
it's not fair.
Bras, yeah. Panties.
And they pay us less, so let's all figure this out, people.
It's a man's world, man. Right. And these are my tattoos.